before you sit down. Before you sit down, hug the person next to you. Give them a side hug. Tell them Jesus loves them. Tell them Jesus loves them. Amen. There we go. Have a seat if you would. Have a seat if you would. A great time of worship, and we transition now to the Word of God. We believe the Bible at this church is the inerrant, infallible Word of God, that it is truth, and as we proclaim it this morning, that it could change a life, it could touch somebody, it can make all the difference in the world when we study God's Word and we proclaim it. We're in a series right now called Refusing to Quit. Let's be honest, have you ever been tempted to quit at anything in your life? Raise your hand. Absolutely, we have. And what we are discovering is that we have battles in life, we have troubles in life, and oftentimes the pressure that comes as a result of the troubles and the trials that we want to give up. And that can look in many, many different ways, that we bail, that we give up on a marriage, we give up on our church, we give up on our family, maybe even give up on life. You know, some are tempted even to give up on their very life. And what we're discovering is from God's Word is that the Bible encourages us to go forward. And we have a memory verse. And Jared, if you can get our memory verse up there. We preached about this last week, but we're going to focus on this together. So let's read our memory verse from Deuteronomy 24. And let's read it out loud. Here we go. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Let's say it one more time. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Deuteronomy 24. We're learning that the battles in life that we face and that we struggle with and things that we deal with, they belong to God. That the hard things, the difficult things, we need to give to the Lord, and we need to let the Lord have them. And last week we learned that we need to be able to quit fighting the fight ourselves and give it to the Lord, that we allow His Word of God, we allow it to shape us and guide us in how we react and how we do things. And really, this is so important. If we try to engage the battle on our own, we're so weak. We're so frail. We just won't do it. We cannot do it in our own strength. Instead, we must rely on the strength of the Lord. And the great promise is that if we give it to God, God is much more capable of handling it than we are. He's much bigger at handling it than we are. That He is the one who goes before us. He fights for us. He is with us. And if there was ever a time that we could face battles, I mean, this is it. I mean, if you just even turn on the news this morning, our world is in chaos this morning. It is in chaos right now, and if there is ever a time that we needed God to do something great, it's now. Your life may be in chaos right now, and you need God to do something to deliver you. You know, as our church is a new church, we too will have challenges and obstacles that we have to overcome in the grace of God. And part of our campaign that's going to begin in September is part of seeing challenges ahead of us and by faith asking God to get us through those challenges. You know, trying to go to the next level with inviting more people here to get 300 in attendance and 80 people in life groups and trying to undergird our church with a strong, biblical, solid foundation is so important for us as we press forward. And the only way that those things will happen as our church grows is that we have faith in God and we believe in God and we let God do it for us. Even after the service today, for those that are LCC members, we're going to be voting in our very first own budget. We've always had a budget set by the Mama Church, and then this is our very first own budget that we have today. And it's a by faith budget. You know, I think sometimes that we just want to operate in what we can do. But what we're learning is that if we do it ourselves, it doesn't really work, does it? That God calls us to have faith. He calls us to see big things that we really can't do in our own power, but to have faith. So for those that are hanging around for the family meeting, do not forget what I'm about to preach. Amen. Do not forget that. Amen. Amen. Okay, so just checking it before we wreck it. Amen. So here we go. But in your life, in what you're dealing with, in what you're prayerfully seeking, understand that you got to give it to God. Now, I had this one verse. I want to actually read two verses in Psalms 122:7-8. As we talk about refusing to quit because God doesn't want you to give up, He doesn't want you just to quit your marriage, quit your life, quit your battle. That's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to press forward and endure, perseverance. Endurance is part of the Word of God. As we look at that, I want us to look at Psalms 122, 7 and 8. And the Bible says this. We have verse 8 in your notes, but 7 will be on the screen. It says, He will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. His heart is assured. He will not fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. As you study that passage, the righteous man in this text is trusting in God, and he has confidence in God, and he has assurance in God. And when the bad things in life come, when the challenges come, when the hardship comes, he's not going to get scared because he trusts God. And he's going to rest assured and look at the challenge with triumph and victory because he believes that God is in control. Oh, if we could adapt that mentality for our life. That when we see a challenge and we see a hardship, that we don't look at it with fear. But instead we say this, I'm trusting in God. I'm assured in my heart. God's got this. But now, can I just be honest with you? Kenny Rager doesn't do that all the time. I don't do that all the time. I see a challenge. I see a situation. I'll pray about it. And then I will say, oh, but I'm still worried about it. I'm still concerned about it. I love that verse. Don't worry about anything that's at the foot of the cross. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank Him for His answers in Philippians 4:6. I love that. You know, one thing that we do oftentimes, we'll take something to God and we'll say, Lord, we need you to handle this. So, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. And we lay it at the altar. We have it in a prayer time. Only before we leave, what do? We got to run back up and pick it back up, stick it in our pocket until next Sunday. And we say, you know what, God, you got this for 15 minutes. But then I'm going to pick it back up and hold it for the rest of the week. I'm good during Sunday morning. God, you got this. Lord, handle this. Lord, you're big. You're sovereign. You're great. You're awesome. You got this until Monday. And you got to deal with it yourself. Now, see, we're so tempted to, when we try to give something to God, to take it back from God. Anybody guilty of that this morning? You give it to God only to do what? To take it back from God. And, you know, and sometimes I wonder, is the Lord saying, well, you gave it to me, and then you take it, and you give it back to me, and you take it? Who wants what? Who wants what? But see, we in our flesh worry, understand this, worry is the opposite of faith. It's the opposite of faith. If you are a person that's constantly drenched in worry, you have no faith. There's no faith. You know, some people say, oh man, look at the mountain, it's so hard to climb. And then others will say, well, that's something that God can just move away through prayer and through fasting and through seeking the Lord. It really puts your faith into action. But one of the reasons that we struggle when that the battle comes and that we really struggle with this and we just say, I just want to quit. I want to quit my marriage. I want to quit this. I want to quit my finances. I just want to quit. It's because we've not truly learned to give it to God and let God keep it. We want to take it back from God. Now, if you're talking about a battle on the military field, and there are some previous soldiers in this room, and they could probably testify to this, that when you're in the army or in the infantry or whatever it is, you have orders to take. And those orders were given to you because somewhere, someplace, somebody had some sort of intel, some sort of training, some sort of logic to send the battalion, the platoon, or whatever on that mission. Now, here's the deal. Those guys are to do as their commanding officer tells them to do because they're trained to do that. But if they get out there and they play Rambo, all right, they're going to kill everybody. I fear that the problem that we have with our battles in life is that we're not willing to submit ourselves to God's rule and God's sovereignty and God's awesomeness and God's goodness and trust in God, but yet we want to be Rambo for God. What do you mean by that? No need to pray, no need to fast, no need to trust and apply our lives to God's principles. I'm tough, I'm strong, I'm going to jump out of water with machine guns, it's going to be awesome. But that's not real, and you can't do it. See, we must submit ourselves to the Lord, trust in God, and let God do whatever God's going to do. And have faith in God. Not that we have to go solve the problem ourselves. So we need to trust. In the battles of life, a trust in God is critical. If you don't learn how to trust God with your problems and your troubles and your worries, they will defeat you and you'll quit. So we need to build today, we need to ask God to give us a spirit of trust in our lives, to give us a spirit of dependency, to give us a spirit of living for Him and trusting Him. And here it is, the difference between knowledge and faith is this. I know that an airplane can fly. I know it can take me from Nashville to wherever. I know that. But until I get on the airplane and let it fly me to wherever, I've not exercised faith. Does that make sense? Until you learn to put faith into action, you're not trusting God. Until you learn to step out onto nothing that is scary, that is nuts, that doesn't make sense, and you gotta wait for God to catch you, you won't ever fly. You'll be an expert on airplanes and never have an airplane ticket. That's what'll happen. You have to trust in God. What you don't realize, everybody in this room right now is exhibiting trust. You know why? You're trusting that that seat will hold you up. Every one of you are. You didn't get out an engineer manual, start looking through that thing and digging through. Now, what's the weight capacity on this chair? What's going to happen if I sit in it? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, have I checked the bolts in this thing? Have I looked at it? What's going to happen? Is it infected with lice or bed bugs? I mean, how do you know? And all y'all nervous now, aren't you, you know? You never thought about that, did you? You never a bunch of itchy scalps to the surface. You never think about that. You never think about that. Why? Because when you come in and you sit down, and by the way, Life Community is not spreading germs anywhere, just for the record, okay? But what I'm trying to make the point is this, is that you simply trust all the time. You trust in silly things all the time that could actually hurt you. But you trust in them. So what we need to do is when we have a battle and a problem, instead of trying to control it ourselves, we need to cultivate a spirit of trust, a spirit of dependency upon God. Let's talk about trust real quick. Three things I want you, just a survey of Scripture, I want you to see about trust this morning. First, misplaced trust has no power. A misplaced trust is powerless. The book of Psalms, chapter 20, verse 7 and 8 says this: some take pride in chariots, others in horses, but we take pride in the name of Yahweh our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand firm. In the ancient days, if you had a chariot, if you had a horse, that was like having like a tank or like a nuclear bomb. Those were the state-of-the-art military equipment. So when the Israelites would go up against an army that had horses and chariots, it would be very overwhelming to them if they did not have those things. If they didn't have them, it would be very overwhelming. And what God says to the nation of Israel is that when you go into battle, when you go to fight, don't put your faith and trust in the tank. Don't put your faith and trust in the aircraft carrier. Don't put your faith and trust in the bomb. No. Instead, you are to put your trust in the name of the Lord. And if you do that, understand that all the devices and all the technologies of the world will fail, but those who trust will rise and stand firm. Now, we understand today that if you trust in anything that's not the Lord, it's bound to fail. Everything deteriorates. Everything falls apart. But God does not. Likewise, in our lives, if we put our trust in something else to help us through the battle, understand that it will fall apart. So many people would say that they would be successful, they would be better, they'd be happy if only they had fill in the blank. If only I had more money, I'd be successful. If only I had more education, I'd be successful. If only I had more time, I'd be successful. If only I lived in a better part of town. If only I had different parents. If only I had this kind of car. If only I had whatever, I'd be successful. What are you doing? You are trusting in something else. Even churches are guilty of this. If only we had more money, we would reach more people. If only we had better equipment, we would reach more people. If only we had a better building, we would reach more people. Understand this. That's all misplaced trust. That's all misplaced trust. Now, you talk to the setup crew, and they're probably thinking, Kimmy, I don't know. We'd really like to have better equipment. Hey, man. You know, it was funny. This morning, we're getting set up, and we were hearing radio stations through the speakers, and I'm pretty sure we still are right now, okay? You know, so here's the reality with that happening. Yeah, it makes sense. If we only had something else, we'd be better off. But God says, you know what? You don't need stuff. You need me. You don't need stuff. You don't need a building. You don't need this or that. You need me. And if you learn how to love me, the Lord, I got everything else. But when we put our trust in other things, we fall short. What are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in something for the battle? Or have you taken that to the Lord and saying, God, you got this? Are you trusting in a doctor? Are you trusting in a medicine? What are you trusting in? Or are you trusting in the Lord today? Understand that a misplaced trust has no power. And second, I want you to see this, that a failure to trust in God, let me add that in, a failure to trust in the Lord is sinful. I don't know how else to say this. It's sinful. If you don't trust in God, you're in sin this morning. Now, we don't like to talk about this, but I want to tell you, did you know if you are plagued by worry, you're sinning? Did you know when Jesus said, do not worry, he meant for us not to worry? See, that's a sin because it takes away from faith. Negativity, pessimist attitudes take away from faith. Don't look at a challenge and say, we can't do this. Look at a challenge and say, God can do this. The Lord can do this. God can do this by faith. Look what Deuteronomy 28:20 says. Moses told this to the people. He said, the Lord will send against you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you do until you are destroyed and quickly perish because of the wickedness of your actions and abandoning. That, man, that should go on a greeting card to help somebody get over depression. Amen. You know, if you don't follow me, you're going to get curses, confusion, rebuke, and be destroyed and quickly perish. Have a good day. Amen. Have a great day. You know, Lord Jesus loves you. You know, but this is truth. The Lord says, if you run away from me, if you abandon me, what should you expect? Confusion, destruction, defeat. Look, just go through that list. If you abandon God, curses, confusion, rebukes, destruction, perishment. Why? Because you abandoned me. Understand that the act of abandoning God, the Bible says right there in 28:20 in Deuteronomy, it is wickedness. It is wickedness when we abandon God and trust in other things. You're being wicked. That doesn't sound too happy, but it's the truth. When we run away from the Lord, we're in sin. When we don't trust in God, we sin. We go against God. And friend, God cannot bless you if you're running away from Him. He cannot and will not bless you if you're not trusting in Him. If you're not trusting in Him. See, the Lord is all about relationships. That's what we got to understand. It's not about an institution called a church or an organization. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That Jesus died on the cross, He rose again. And if we trust in Him, we have relationship with Jesus. Relationship with God. And He wants us to continue that relationship of trusting and loving and caring God, letting Him love us. And when we stop trusting, that's a bad thing because that goes against what He's trying to do in our lives. You got to trust in God. And if you don't trust in God to see you through the problems, you're living in sin. And this is something that we just don't like to talk about, but it's true. remember this. Moving without God is moving without a blessing. Moving without God is moving without a blessing. Third, I want you to see this, and this is the best part. Y'all ready for some good news now? Misplaced trust, no power. A failure to trust, sinfulness. Third, I want you to see this, but trusting in God's Word brings success. 1 Chronicles 22:13. Then you will succeed if you carefully follow the statutes and ordinances the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Does that sound familiar, our memory verse? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. If abandoning God is sinful, listen, clinging to God gives a blessing. Clinging to God is a blessing. The Bible tells us that if the Israelites were to follow the Lord and listen to what God said, listen to how He directed them, trust in the way that the Lord, the commanding officer, had told them to go, then they would succeed in their conquest. They would succeed in what they were going to do. If they abandoned God, did not trust in God, they expected destruction. But if they listened to God and obeyed God, there was success. Guys, I want to tell you, we too have written commands from God in 66 books of the Bible. The best thing we could ever do is to be a church that believes the Bible and follows the Bible. And when we believe God's Word and we stand on the promises that this thing is true that I'm holding in my hand, that this thing is anointed and powerful and it makes a difference in a life, the Lord will bless that. But just setting it on your coffee table and hoping it brings you a blessing ain't going to do nothing for you. You know what you got to do? This is revolutionary. This is crazy. It's cutting edge what I'm getting ready to say. Hold on. You ready? You got to read it. Okay? You got to read it. And when you apply God's Word into your life, there's a blessing there. Now, I want to just clarify something real quick about what success is and what it is not. Success for the Christian is always, now hear me on this, always, 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 always glorifying Jesus Christ. That's success. More money is not success. More power is not success. More toys is not success. A bigger boat, a bigger yacht, yada, yada, yada. That's not success. Success for us is making sure that the name of Jesus is glorified and lifted high. And if we can glorify the name of Christ, preach the name of Jesus, and let people know that Jesus is here, you know what? You win. That's why when you go through a battle and it just drags you through the mud, man, if you're able to give God praise and glory, even when you're at your lowest, you ready? You win. You win. Jesus told us there'd be troubles. That shouldn't surprise us. He said, on this earth, you'll have troubles and trials. He told us that. But if we're able to praise the Lord in the lowest pit, believing that God has this, one way or the other, He's got it. Success for your life. That's why great men of God have shed their blood. Heads been chopped off, crucified upside down. There are people in this world right now being killed for their faith. And even though it may look like they're ending in defeat, they are not. The blood of the martyr speaks, and they were successful with their life. Successful with their life. And whenever you apply God's Word in your battle, in your struggle, glorifying Jesus is the success. That's the victory. No matter what you deal with. But we must learn to give it to God. And you ready? Let God keep it. You've got to give it to the Lord. And I'll say it again. And you've got to let Him keep it. I want you to ask yourself, this is on the outline. Today, right now, who or what are you trusting in? Is it money? Is it power? What are you trusting in? Your family? Your friends? What's your trust? You know, if we continue to trust in stuff instead of the Lord, we'll never find success. We'll never have faith. If it's all material, we'll never have faith. But if we believe and trust, God will see us through it. And some of you all today are very tempted to take it back from God. I want to tell you a quick story, real quick. It's a cool story. A long time ago in England, Oliver Cromwell was a British leader in England. And he had a secretary. And the story goes that he had dispatched his secretary to go to another country to take care of some business. And the story goes that as they were in one of the seaport towns waiting for a connecting boat to take them to wherever they were going, that they had to stay in a cottage. And the secretary, Oliver Cromwell's secretary, had an assistant. And the assistant stayed in one room and he stayed in another room. And one particular night, the man could not sleep. There was so much going through his brain about the meeting that was coming up, the stuff that was happening. He tossed and turned. You ever been that way, by the way? Anybody ever done that before? You toss and turn. You're so worried. And the clock keeps ticking. You know you need to sleep. Well, he did that. He was tossing and turning. He could not sleep. And I guess he was making a ruckus in the room. And his assistant came. And he said, "Man, what's wrong? Why have you not been able to sleep?" And the secretary's reply was, "I'm so afraid something's going to go wrong on this voyage. I'm so afraid something's going to go wrong with this business deal." And the servant said, "Master, I got a question for you." He said, "Okay, go ahead." And this was the question he asked. "Did God rule the world before you were born?" And the servant said, "Well, yeah, he did." Then he asked him another question. "Will God rule the world after you die?" And he said, "Well, yeah." And I love it. He said, "Then, sir, why won't you let him rule the present too?" Friend, with whatever you're dealing with, will you just let God rule the present right now? Will you give it to God and trust in Him? It was Jesus who died and suffered for you and bled, that if you give your life to Him and believe in the resurrected Jesus, you can be saved. Have you trusted in Christ today for salvation? As our band comes and heads are bowed and eyes are closed, have you trusted in Christ today? Maybe today you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. And you're sitting here and you say, "Kenny, I don't know what I'm trusting in, but it's not Jesus." My friend, I would encourage you and I would beckon you today to give your life to Christ. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. The Lord draws us. It's up to us to make a response. It's up to us to say yes or no to the Lord. Maybe today you're sitting here feeling the conviction of your sin and you've never trusted in God, but today you'd like to give your heart to Jesus. Open your heart up to Christ and say, "Lord, I choose today to trust in You for the very first time." With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you would pray this prayer right now. "Dear God, I'm a sinner. I failed You, but I trust in Jesus. I believe He shed His blood. I believe He rose from the dead. Come into my life and save me. And save me." With head still bowed and eyes still closed, maybe today you prayed that and you asked the Lord to come into your life. You quit trusting in yourself and you started trusting in Jesus. If God stirred your heart, I want to invite you to come. Just here in a moment, come forward. Let me know God did that in your life. Maybe you still got questions, but you'd come just trusting in Jesus today. If you feel it in your heart, then come trust Him. Maybe today you're here and you are a Christian and you just need to give it to God and let God keep it. Anybody in that boat today? Raise your hand if you are. Because I need to let God keep it. I need to let Him keep it today. Instead of trying to take it from Him, I'm praying for you. So, Father, we ask You to come. And, God, we give You our problems. Believing, Jesus. Not worrying, but praying. Telling You about our needs. And not forgetting to say thank You for what You're doing. So, Father, we refuse to quit. We refuse to quit. Instead, we choose to trust. Lord, move in hearts.